I have this photograph of two of my fellow pilgrims. And I call them pilgrims because I really don't think that anyone who goes to Jerusalem is a mere tourist. The two of my fellow pilgrims are looking in this ancient cutout hole in the wall and looking down. What they see is a deep pit, and the only other entrance or only other opening is this big hole in the top. They are looking at a place where Christians have gone on pilgrimage for 1700 years. It is believed to be the house of Caiaphas, the high priest we hear so much about in the readings this week. They're looking down at a subterranean prison where prisoners were lowered down from the hole above by ropes. And the only way for them to get out is to be raised by ropes through that same hole. Archaeologists have found some artifacts in this in these ruins, and it ties the owners of this house to the temple, because only someone who had very deep access to the inner bowels of the temple could have some of the things that the archaeologists have found. They've cut in a modern access to the pit, the hole, and so we entered around through the back and came down a staircase, and sitting down on this cold stone floor, I look up at this hole and I wonder what Jesus was thinking that night, because he had to be kept in that hole if this really was Caiaphas's prison, a prison in his house. He was far away from the fellowship and camaraderie of the meal that night with his friends, Passover feast, body, blood. He was even further away from the adulation of the crowd a few days earlier. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the King. No, that was very far away. There, I don't know where you fit in this whole Christological debate about Jesus' humanity and Jesus' divinity. Thousands of people, thousands of Christians died in our argument over how does one person have both human and divine characteristics. I've always kind of just given up and figured out it's beyond my understanding. But sitting on that floor in that pit, looking up, I knew that Jesus understood what was happening. Whether he understood or knew everything up that to that point in his life, I don't know. How could he be truly human if he knew all the stuff that he was going to happen to him? But at that point, in the pit in Caiaphas' house, I think he understood. One does not find oneself in the prison of Caiaphas, the high priest, and think there's going to be a positive outcome. Roman Catholic sister Joan Chittister says Maundy Thursday is a day of gifts given and gifts taken away. The gifts taken away is pretty obvious. Jesus, friend, teacher, healer, arrested, taken away, never to be in that same physical presence with them as he begins this slow, inexorable march to the cross. The gifts given, I think, can be summarized as a new way of living. There is self-offering. Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it. This is my body. He takes the cup full of wine, blesses it, and shares it. This is my blood. I would imagine that those were pretty stunning words for Jesus' disciples. We are so used to them because of our Eucharist, but I think that it was stunning words because of the Jewish holiness code. You stayed away from bodies, dead bodies. You stayed away from blood. It made you unclean. And so it's very radical. Take, eat. Take, drink. I'm sure they were very confused and they didn't understand. And then he goes, like we're going to go in a few minutes, he takes water and he takes a bowl and a towel. And he teaches them servanthood. Self-offering and servanthood as the gifts given. And we know they didn't understand because he said, you don't understand this now, but you will later. You will later. And they did, didn't they? We wouldn't be here tonight. They did because the reading we just heard from Corinthians, written by St. Paul, was written approximately 25 to 30 years after this event took place. Scholars believe that that is an indication that as early as 25 to 30 years after Jesus' death, Jesus is saying these very words. Jesus instituting this ritual, that the early Christians were actually doing this. That Paul's words is proof that that was already a common practice in the nascent Christian community. We also know that they understood servanthood because they became apostles, no longer disciples, meaning pupils. They became apostles, those who were sent out, and they went to the reaches of the land that they knew and probably beyond. Yes, later they did understand. How about us? Do we really understand these rituals that we enact? Eucharist on a weekly basis, the foot washing on Maundy Thursday, do we really understand that? My liturgy professor in seminary was a major proponent of children taking communion at even an early age as infants. Now, I kind of am along the lines of that's up to the parents. But he gets pretty adamant about the fact that if you refuse to allow your child to take communion, well, you just excommunicated a member. They've been baptized, they're a member of the church, and if you don't let them take communion, you've excommunicated them. People invariably ask him, I think they should wait till the children understand what they're doing. His comeback is pretty fast. Do you understand? Do you understand what we're doing? Do you? I don't know that we do, because we would be living in radically different times. When Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, the Greek word remember doesn't translate very well into English. The word in Greek means make me present. Do this to make me present. If we were to take communion as if we were participating in making Jesus present here and now in our lives, and wherever we take him when we leave this place, we would be living in radically different times. If we really understood the foot washing, that it's more than just having those we love sit down so we can tell them or we can show them our love for them, our servanthood for them, or how we share that as a community, well, I think that if we really understood it, it will look very different when we leave this place. Now, we could do what some churches in downtown Houston do. They have foot washing services every month for the homeless. The most difficult thing you have when you're homeless is not just figuring out where you're going to eat or get food that day, trying to find a safe place to be in inclement weather, but their feet are cracked and bleeding and dry because all they do is walk all day long. So we could do something like that to demonstrate that we really understand what this ritual is about. Or we could leave this place tonight with the grace that we are going to look for those that Jesus brings in our lives each day and figure out who it is that needs their feet washing that day, whatever metaphorically that may be in their life. No, I don't know that we understand these rituals, because I think that we would be living in a completely different reality if we did. But I pray that we gain an understanding. Amen.